Here now with all of today's cruise and travel news and a bit of commentary, it's the guru of the seas himself, Tom Drake.
How about that? It is himself on this Saturday morning, Saturday, September 23rd, 2023. It is a time and a half Saturday. I get paid extra on Saturday. Yes, sure I do. You remember the days, though. I talk about this every Saturday. I used to get time and a half. When I worked for ShopRite supermarkets, we would get time and a half. We would get double time on a holiday. It was big money back then for an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. Time and a half now, I'm going backwards. I don't know if the president's going to get time and a half. I just read this morning, I was up very early, he's going to go walk a picket line with the auto workers in Detroit. I have no idea what that's about. I have no idea. You don't go to East Palestine. You don't care about the border, but you're going to go walk with some auto workers. I paid $50,000 for a Chevy last month. What the hell is that Chevy going to cost when they get done their increase? Hey, look, maybe the look, here's the deal. Here is the deal. This is not related to the cruise and travel industry, but it is transportation. It has to do with my car. They're not going to take less corporate profit. They will bend over and give the auto workers what they want because they're losing a lot of money. They're already, I think Ford's already almost there with it. Look at the pilots. The pilots got 40% increase. They already make a ton of money. They got 40% because the airlines are making a lot of money. How are they making a lot of money? They're making billions in bag fees. That's how they're making a lot of money. They're making billions in raising the fares because there are less flights. And the FAA is helping them out by telling them out of the New York area, you can fly 10% less and you can charge even more. Come on. And who pays for it? We do. We do. Get off your soapbox on a Saturday. Everybody's already tuned out on this podcast. Hold on. Where are you? I have a brand new stream deck now. I have to look for everything.
You're a moron!
There you go. I have a slight delay in my stream deck, I think. But, you know, as you get older, it happens. Congratulations to the team, the staff, the crew of the Oceana Vista. Now, this is not what you think it is. Hold on. It is not that. Yes, I'm about to go back to work for Oceana Cruise Line at the end of October, and I'll be gainfully employed, and they help pay all of my bills. But congratulations. The Vista's a brand new ship. A lot of stress. Bringing it out. Making the travel agent happy. You got a fam trip and another fam trip and a travel agent. Then the bosses, and they're all on. They're all up your kazoo. Everybody's around. The stress is incredible. Out of dry dock. Get it going. Bring it over here. Show it off. And now, of course, sooner or later, and this was later, sooner or later, you will get a visit from the paper hat people from United States Public Health, which is part of the CDC, which is as well run as the, I'll have to come up with a sound effect for the CDC, check, whatever. So they came on board in Boston. And it's nerve-wracking, and I've talked about this in the past. The reason I'm called the Guru of the Seas is because I know a lot more than you do. I know you're a guest, and you think you know everything. I know more. I know you've worked in the industry for 5 minutes, and now you have a real job. You think you know. I know more. What happens when they come on, the paper hat people, they are like from The Wizard of Oz. They come marching on their little brown outfits and little paper hats, and they begin ripping the place apart, looking for something wrong, because otherwise, why would they have a job? And what they normally look at more than anything is temperature, refrigeration temperature. I've said in the past, they will padlock the refrigerators behind the serving lines so that the staff doesn't open and close it 57 times. And when they know that U.S. public health is on board, because when the temperature goes down, that's what they look at. That's one of the NICs, they call it. When you, not the New York NICs, they're actually pretty cold themselves, but the NICs. And there are 44 items they look at when they tear a ship apart. And the Oceana Vista scored 100. They got a perfect score. How about that, huh? Perfect score. I know. I don't know if it's Dominique or if it's a little brain fart here. Dominique or yikes, somebody. I'm not starting this podcast over. I started over 5 times already. I'll come up with a name before it's over. He's also French. That's a hint. Dominique or and he's married to a lovely girl from Buffalo and has 2 kids. And I'm falling apart on a Saturday morning. Anyway, they scored 100. Damien LaCroix is the other GM there, I think. 44 items, they got them all right. Congratulations. This is sad. Number one stringer, Steve, a.k.a. Miami Steve, sent me this last night. I'm sure he was smiling because I was on my soapbox about the Bright Line train, that'll go from Orlando to Miami and on, and it's expensive. And it launched yesterday. It was a big deal. It was. This is a privately run train. This was a huge undertaking, something the state of Florida couldn't get done, something that no one could get this done. They got it done. They laid track. They laid track from Orlando down there. They used existing track, but mostly brand new track. A lot of legal things. What a job. And they deserve what they get, I suppose. But anyway, yesterday they launched. And the train from Orlando to Miami was going through Delray and it hit somebody. That's not a good start. And I have to tell you this. I'm not Oliver Stone, but this seems so weird. On the very first official train ride, it strikes somebody. Well, that obviously had to stop. And that delayed the arrival in Miami. And the Miami train couldn't leave. And everything went wrong on the very first day. And what's really wrong is that somebody got hit by a train. You don't walk away from that. But how does that happen in 2023? How do you not know a train is coming? I mean, when they're going through those areas, unless it was not by an intersection, there's not a lot of news available. It'll be out later on. I'll talk about it Monday. I shouldn't talk about it, but you know what? Number one stringer, Steve, sent it, and you know I'm going to be in Miami probably later on in October, so this way I'll talk about him. He can buy me lunch. What are the other headlines today? Wow, I got this from Bob from Georgia early this morning. He probably sent it last night, but I go to bed early because I'm old. It's about Venice. I don't have time for it, but I'm putting it the number at the top. It's about the admission charge to get into Venice. I've been asking for a while, how are you going to do this? And they're going to do it stupid. The first Sports Illustrated Resort, I didn't get to it yesterday. It's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. If you know anything about the SEC, that is the University of Alabama, they are nuts about their college football. And if you grew up and if you went to school in Alabama and then moved somewhere, you want to go back to Tuscaloosa. And why wouldn't you want to stay at a Sports Illustrated Resort? You can stay in the owner's suite, which is, I think it's called the Jockstrap. I don't know. We'll talk about that. I wake up some mornings and go, is it worth doing this? I mean, it's not generating millions. It's not even generating hundreds. But I enjoy doing it. But is anybody listening? And then I read articles by bozos who get paid to write articles. This guy wrote an article in USA Today about how flight diversions work, the reasons flights are diverted. Now, 8-year-old kids can tell you there's probably three reasons. The plane might crash, the weather sucks, somebody's going to die, somebody has a fight. There's four reasons, right? There's four reasons. We all know that. If you read the newspapers, if your head's not under a rock or up your... Anyway, we'll talk about that. Another company coming out with you can sail around the world and rent your room for the year or 2 years or 3 years. Enough already with this. Enough. It's a bad idea to begin with. We'll talk about it. The guy behind this was the guy over at Life at Sea. He's the guy that walked off and quit, walked out and said, you're not doing it right. I'll do it myself. Well, then we'll see. Azamara, this is unique. They're launching 7-day cruises where you'll spend almost 40% of the time in port. They're big on overnights. I don't know. I mean, you're paying for the cruise, but then once you get off and go somewhere else. And, we won't get to this. Hydrogen fuel cells, are they the solution? That's what's going to happen on the two Explorer journey ships that are, they just signed up for those, but they're coming out in 27, 28. That'll be Explorer 6, 5 and 6. Hydrogen fuel cells. Probably get to this story on Monday because it's still, they're still in planning, development, testing. You know, that's what they want, but they haven't really nailed it yet. And you know what? I probably shouldn't even get into it because it's much more technical, and I'm not really about technical. I'm really about ducks and crotch jokes. Roll the music. All right, if you're a college football nut and your team is playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa and you can get a ticket, all right, you know what? I've been to SEC championships games, SEC championship games in Atlanta, but it's a neutral field. I've been to Alltel Stadium in Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, but it's a neutral field. I have been to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, 110,000 crazy college fans, and I have been to Tuscaloosa. I forget the name of the stadium, the Bryant Denny Stadium, I think, in Tuscaloosa in Alabama, and it is an amazing experience if you care about college football and if your son's college is playing Alabama. So now there's a company called Travel and Leisure and Sports Hospitality Ventures. Why such a big freaking name? Travel and Leisure Company and Sports Hospitality. Can you shorten it up? How about TLSE up yours? I don't know. Anyway, they own the license for the Sports Illustrated magazine brand. Now, I don't get this, honestly, but I mean, I suppose it's nice that it's going to be a Sports Illustrated resort. I don't even read Sports Illustrated anymore. I don't look at it online. If you're into sports, The Athletic is the place to read anything about anything. They have the top writers in the country now because most newspapers are getting rid of their sports department, and most ESPN, the rest of them, they don't want to pay anybody. So they're all working for The Athletic, which, by the way, is now owned by, if I'm not mistaken, they're owned by the New York Times. The New York Times bought The Athletic and got rid of their sports department because they can all write for The Athletic. But in any case, the Sports Illustrated people sold their name to this company with a long name, and they're going to open Sports Illustrated resorts, right? They'll be located within college towns or near universities with devoted fan bases. That's not the right word, rabid fan bases. I won't name names, but I know somebody who will run naked through his backyard to go see the Texas Longhorns play, Dan. the rabid, I mean, diehard fans. So I'm in Tuscaloosa with the wife. We're going to see Texas A&M in Alabama. We are the guests of a very famous sports broadcaster named Vern Lundquist. It's the coolest weekend you'll ever spend in your life. First of all, because we watched the game from the CBS broadcast booth. Second, we were with Vern when he was on ESPN Game Day as the picker. It was a spectacular weekend. Normally, when we travel with Uncle Vern, we stay in the CBS hotel and we pay the CBS rate. I've told this story in the past. We're staying at the beautiful Hampton Inn. Now, these are stories you'll never hear on any of the podcasts, and I don't even know if Vern would want me to talk about it. But when Vern Lundquist was asked to go from number two team on the NFL to the number one team in college football, he wasn't excited about it. Because when you're the number two team in the NFL, because Jim Nance, hello, friends, is number one, when you're the number two team, you still stay in the Ritz-Carlton's or you stay in the Four Seasons in major cities. When you're the number one broadcaster for the SEC, you're staying in all kinds of places for Auburn and places like there aren't five-star hotels. So the best hotel in Tuscaloosa as of now is the Hampton Inn, which was pretty new. So we're staying at the Hampton Inn where you get free breakfast and a Friday night cocktail party. And I don't even pay attention to the bill when I check in because I'm on the CBS rate. Oh, it's going to be good. Then I look at the bill. It's $535 a night. It's $1,050 to stay in Tuscaloosa to see a football game. And I asked Byron, I said, do you ever look at the rate? He goes, no, they just bill CBS. I said, you have no idea what they charge here. They're charging twice to 2.5 times more than a regular rate because it's the weekend. So when they open up a Sports Illustrated resort, they are going to hammer you on the weekend when Alabama's in town. Otherwise, why are you going there? Why are you going to Tuscaloosa? Now, according to this, when they open them up, they're going to look at beach clubs, interactive experience parks, and leisure destinations. But they're also basically looking to put them in a full-service hotel, a vacation club, and residential condos next to a college sports town like Knoxville, Tennessee, or whatever. I don't know if they thought this through. You go to Tuscaloosa. You go to Tuscaloosa because you're going to see Alabama play somebody. I don't think you go there otherwise. Now, all right, they're going to open them other parts and they're going to have beach clubs. Does it matter if it's Sports Illustrated? No. I've said this about Margaritaville. I've never had a burger in a margarita or a restaurant that was any good. not any good. Now, Jimmy had a restaurant called Landshark. They were great, but Margaritaville's, the name means nothing to me. But, you know, what does, I can only imagine what it's going to cost to stay at the Sports Illustrated Resort in Tuscaloosa on the weekend that you see Alabama play anybody. Unbelievable. Okay, so now I'm reading further. Travel and Leisure Company was formed in 2021 when timeshare company Wyndham Destinations, which spun off from Wyndham Hotels and Resorts and acquired the Travel and Leisure brand from another company. Okay, so this is Wyndham. Sports Illustrated Resorts is Wyndham. It's timeshare. Now it makes a little bit more sense. You buy a timeshare, you fall in the trap, you're in Orlando. You buy one, now you got one. You don't know why you got one. But now you realize that you can use it to go see Alabama play somebody if you can get a ticket. So that might fill it. But otherwise, I don't see it. All right. All right, here's the story in USA Today. It's about flight diversions. And according to this young writer named Zach somebody, Zach the Whack, he writes, first of all, that flying is usually the fastest way to get somewhere. But if something goes wrong during your flight, you could wind up hundreds or even thousands of miles away from where you're trying to go with unnecessary time added to your trip. Yeah, no kidding. And you could decide to drive from New Jersey to Florida, the car breakdown in South Carolina, and you got a lot of problems. You could get on a bus, and the bus could get a flat. It happens. It's called stuff happens there, Zachy boy. And now he tells this whole story about when a flight got diverted and why. This is what happens when a flight gets diverted. You're screwed. But it happens very, very seldom. And what you don't want to happen is you don't want to happen in some place where they're not set up for it. Now he goes on to talk to, by the way, he said the common reasons for a diversion are weather, mechanical problems, medical issues. He's leaving out fights. Fights are the big thing now. I mean, they're diverting all the time because of that. How about Delta? Delta didn't divert. They turned around and went back when the guy went to the bathroom down the entire hallway. Not the hallway. What do you call it? Down the aisle. He couldn't get there. Hello. He was like a fertilizer plane in Iowa. Just, oh, my goodness gracious. So Ray Wright, he's the CEO of Gander International Airport, told me that unruly passengers can also lead to flight diversions. There it is. I didn't have to read this article to know the reasons that flights are diverted. It's either going to crash, the weather sucks, somebody's going to die, or somebody started a fight. That's it. Do we need an article about it? Are people that uninformed you don't see this in the news? Anyway, Gander is a large airport in a fairly remote part of Newfoundland, Canada, and is a common diversion point for transatlantic flights that experience trouble. Of course, we all know this. We all know it. And in fact, come from away, he's writing about it here. Somehow he slipped this in. He wanted tickets. The Broadway musical Come From Away is based on the story of when 9/11 came, they grounded all the flights. And the airport they could go to immediately was Gander. So 38 flights with thousands of passengers all landed in Gander. And they were all taken in by the residents of Gander. And that is the musical Come From Away. And my friend David Shannon, his stage name, was in the original musical in Broadway and West End. Thank you for the name drop. Appreciate that very much. Anyway, here's the thing. You know, I don't even know why I covered it. I hope you're still listening. It's kind of boring to me and I'm talking about it. This is what gives me hope. When I see an article like this, it was like seven paragraphs in USA Today. And according to Mr. Wright, the advantage we have in Gander is we have a facility that we still maintain that was built for aviation as it existed in 1959. We have the International Lounge, which is a sterile space that's not quite Canada. That facility has room for up to 1,000 people under our fire codes, and there's washrooms there. What he's saying is, let's say you have to divert. I think he's actually lobbying for a business. He's actually reminding everybody, hey, if you blow an engine, we're over here. Because nobody goes to Gander anymore. You used to go there when you were flying prop planes and you had a fuel and you're going to Europe or back from Europe, you would stop there. But now jets go nonstop for 20 hours. So he's lobbying for diversion. If anybody has a problem, hey, I'm over here, Ray Wright from Gander. Come on, we got room for 1,000 of you and you can take a leak. And what he means is by the international lounge, you don't need to call customs and border patrol in because you're not entering the country. It's considered international. So you can put 1,000 people in there, give them a cheese sandwich and a toilet break, and then wait till you fix the plane. So maybe they're going to have their own advertising campaign. Looking for some place to divert? Think of Gander. Anyway, why am I getting into this? All right, the former managing director of Life at Sea Cruises. I've been all over this because I told people from day one, don't buy into this. You're going to pay for a year or 2 years or 3 years for a stateroom on a ship, and you're getting on board and you find out the service is terrible, the food is terrible. Moray Cruises, you heard of them? I haven't heard. They're European. They buy and sell ships, whatever. So they're launching in November, and they were going to launch with a ship that this gentleman, Mikael Pedersen didn't feel was adequate, and he got mad, threw a hissy fit and quit, and took everybody with him. And now they've started their own company to do the same thing. It's called Villa V Residences. Villa V Residences. So they put out a press release, and they said you'll be able to purchase a cabin at a price comparable to traditional condominium ownership. Now what he's going to do, he wants to get an old ship and try to sell you the cabin for $100,000. Very much like you can buy a condo. I've said this before. This is why I'm the guru of the season. And everybody that listens to me know this. They know this already. There is a lifespan to a ship. It's not like buying a condo in New York City and the building's been around since 1888. Yeah, the plumbing has to be fixed. But ships are different. After 20 years, they fall apart. After 25, after 30, they're, you know, why? What are you doing? This guy is going to go look for an old ship, paint it up, and try to sell you a room for $100,000. That's what I'm saying. No idea yet. He put out the press release. They have itinerary set up. They have all these ideas. They're going to have a golf simulator. They're going to have a PGA professional. Remember what I said about ideas are wonderful, but execution is difficult? And I was never good at execution. More than once, people thought I should be. Open a comedy club, open an entertainment agency. It's difficult. It's hard work. This guy wants to go find a ship, find investors, sell you the cabin for $100,000. Villa V Residences. I think the first thing he'll do is try to purchase a mailing list. And along with all the brochures you're getting now from Oceania and Region and Silver Sea and Viking and Atlas, I get them every day. My mailbox is packed with, it's hilarious to me. I'm in the industry. They pay me to get on a ship. And they keep sending me their brochures. I should buy a cruise. I should lose my mind to pay for a cruise. What are you, nuts? This guy's based in Fort Lauderdale. His previous experience includes financial roles at Prestige Cruise Holdings. That's Oceania Region, and Royal Caribbean. And he was with Life at Sea Cruises, but he quit. He voiced concerns about the ship, the Gemini, about its ability to operate the program. That was a big deal. An engineer wrote up a bad op-ed piece, and they changed it. Now they have a different ship. They're using another one that's been sanitized. And there you go from there. All right, so keep an eye on that. Villa V Residences. As I take it apart, they're going to try to find, they're not building anything from scratch. They're going to try to find a 20-year-old ship and sell you the room for $100,000. Because there's nothing here about, you know, there's another one still out there, Storylines. They've been telling this story for I don't know how many years. They're building a ship. When are you going to build it? When? Let me know. Oh, well, we should start next Tuesday if the sun's out. What? Unbelievable. All right. Azamara. You know the story about Azamara. I mean, I won't go way back to the Richard Fain story, but they have 4R ships. Oceania has 4R ships. They are the Renaissance ships. They're all the same, 8 cookie-cutter type ships. Now, they're owned privately by a company called Sycamore Partners, and they are making their presence known in the industry, but it hasn't been easy for Azamara. They're not new. They've been around for 15 years probably. It's not easy. Oceania's embedded in the upper premium market, no doubt about it. They are less expensive than Oceania. They offer more than Oceania, but yet, you know, it is what it is. But now they're offering 7-night voyages that give you more time in port for local festivities in Europe and Southeast Asia. And it caught my eye because they're having an Azamara Pursuits St. Patrick's Day voyage in Lisbon. Okay. Is it maybe, I don't know anything about Iberian people. Is it a big deal in Portugal, St. Patrick's Day? Is it a big parade? Anyway, they're going to sail round trip for Lisbon for 7 days, and this ship will have 80 hours in port so travelers can celebrate St. Patrick's Day, exploring Irish pubs along locals alongside locals in Portugal, and get maybe expats. I mean, I thought it was going to be Ireland, but then again, March in Ireland, not exactly a fun time to be there, but at least it'd be Ireland. But you're going to go on a St. Patrick's Day cruise and go to Cadiz, Spain, Malaga, Madeira. You get a half day in Gibraltar. Now, there is an Irish pub in Gibraltar. I've been in that one. There might be two in Gibraltar. That's probably where they should. You're better off just going ahead and talking to people in Gibraltar and say, can we sponsor the St. Patrick's Day parade? All right? Sponsored by Azamara. And let the guests march in it. That would, believe me, that would flip somebody's switch to be able to march in a parade in Gibraltar down the, not really a main drag there, but we'll see what happens. There's also an Asian holiday voyage, which is in Asia. That's a nice change of pace. There's also Spain, another intensive Spain cruise, and a bunch of other ones. But the idea is you spend more time in port. They are all about that. It's interesting because their big thing was immersion. They even trademarked the name immersion, where you immerse yourself in the port of call. You immerse. Not like a Baptist minister dropping you into the water, but you immerse. Now it looks like somebody said, wait a minute, that's not really flipping everybody's switch. Let's go ahead and do 7-day cruises where you can immerse yourself in Portugal to celebrate Patrick's Day. If you're new to this podcast, you know what I do, right? I look at stuff and I say what someone should have said in the office. And they should have said in the office, look, we really can't sell a St. Patrick's Day cruise in Portugal. It doesn't work. You can sell it in New York. You can sell it in Dublin. But you can't sell. Now, and why can't you go to Dublin in March? It's cold and nasty, but so is Antarctica. So do they even have a St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin? They probably don't even do it. It's an American thing anyway. So, all right. Let's see what else we got here. I don't want to get into this fuel cells, so I think we'll call it a day. That's 26, 27 minutes. I hope you enjoyed some part of this. I don't even remember what I said for the last 25, 27 minutes here, other than congratulations to Oceana Vista. Sad news about the pedestrian. Is that what it is when you get hit by a train or you're a pedestrian? I guess so. He was walking. It wasn't a car. But normally a pedestrian is walking on a sidewalk or, I don't know, the story. I didn't get to Venice. That's why it's short. Let me get to Venice really fast. I was supposed to lead with that. Real fast. You still with me? Should I start over? I'm not doing it. I got to clean the garage. Venice. Venice is a mess. It's too crowded. Way too crowded. I agree. I don't like to go to Venice. I shouldn't say it. My wife loves Venice. I don't think it's as great as everybody thinks it is. I always get lost. It's a bunch of rocks and bricks in a church and a bunch of overpriced Italian restaurants. So anyway, but people want to go there. They want to go to the Bridge of Sighs. I sigh every time I see the people. You can't move. So they have a problem. So they want to charge admission. And they're going to charge admission starting next spring. €5. How are they going to collect? This is how they're going to do it. I'll get into this story in more depth on Monday. But the decision is this. If you're going to Venice and you don't live there, you're not a resident, if you're a visitor, you must buy a visa thing online for €5, €6. It must be in your phone or printed out in your pocket. And if the gendarmes, is that how they say that? If the Italian carbonara, what are they called? Prosciutto, the Italian meats, if they stop you and ask to see your papers, are you ready? May I see your papers? You're in Italy now. You're in Venice, and they want to see your papers. I don't think that's such a good idea. And there, as one resident said, we are now like Disneyland. And they're right. They're pushing out the residents. But the idea, $5 and €6. So now he stops you. Two cops come up to you. Papers, please. Excuse me? And you show them. Okay, good. But you don't have it. You lost it. It's not in your phone. You forgot to buy it. What happens now? It's a fine of 100 euros. They're going to fine you 100 euros. I don't know how they even do this legally, but 100 euros. How do you pay it? What are they going to have? Those credit card machines? Square Force or whatever they're called? Venice Times Square? And you have to whip out your credit card and give it to the cop, and the cop's going to scroll and charge $100. Keep moving. That's the dumbest thing. It's my John Madden there. That's the idea. I'll talk more about it on Monday. But think about it over the weekend. You're going to Venice next spring. You're going to have to buy this. Make sure you buy it. Make sure you print it out. Because if the internet goes down, you can't produce it. Anything goes wrong, I would print it out. I would laminate it. I would print it out and carry two copies. Here's one for you, Luigi. One for you, Vito. Can you leave me alone? May I see your papers? Wow. Are we going backwards in this world? May I see your papers? Unbelievable. May I see your papers? Ow! I knew we should chat longer. That's very loud today. My new stream deck, baby. All right. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm not sure I did. But I said I'll do it, so I'm doing it. I hope that music is only loud in my head. I hope it's not as loud at home. Lower it down here. That's much better. Now I can hear myself. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. I look forward to talking to you on Monday. We will talk about hydrogen fuel cells. That'll get you interested, huh? You can't wait for that podcast. We'll also talk more about Venice. I feel for the people of Venice. I do. It's too crowded. It's nuts. And Americans, British tourists, they're not respectful. They're really not. I know. I shouldn't say that stuff. I'm trying to get people to listen or continue to listen. Insulting them is probably not the answer. I don't know. It worked for Howard Stern until he became woke. Speaking of woke, wake up. I will talk to you on Monday. And I will say for the final time this week, shut up. Have a good weekend.